To be in camp meeting. Camp meeting was born out of the Second Great Awakening. Camp meeting is a result of revival. And God's people have been having camp meeting for hundreds of years. And I love it. It's different. I love it. Amen. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate the opportunity. When I think of High Point, I think of Brother Frank Gribble. I met years ago. We went to the Holy Land together 30-some years ago. And I hadn't been back, but I'm going back. Probably on a white horse, but I'm going back. And you are too. You are too. Glad to have my wife, two of our daughters, and my mom and dad. And it's just a blessing to be here. Amen. I'll just say a few things and be done. Take your Bible. Turn to Malachi, please. If you would, last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4. And I'll read a verse or two and bring you the thought upon my heart for this hour. Thank you for being here. I enjoyed being here last night and hearing Brother Joe. What a message. What a service. We all need all the preaching we can get. All the church we can get. Amen. We need an appetite like Billy Sunday. He said when he sat down to eat, he said he ate a dozen eggs. Well, we need that kind of a spiritual appetite, not a little dab of do you. But amen. Enough that when you're tempted, you'll be ready. When somebody asks you a question, any question, you'll be ready. You don't get ready when you're tempted, you stay ready. And I thank God for His perfect, inspired, preserved Word. I'm just an old-fashioned preacher. 25 years ago, I remember a service one Sunday morning. We had some visitors, and I said, glad to have you. And why are you here? And they said, well, we're from one of the local universities. And we're doing a report on the old-time religion. And they said, we thought if any church in this county could represent the old-time religion, it would be yours. And that's my reputation. And I intend to keep it. Intend to die with it. Amen. I ain't interested in newfangled way. No. And the Bible says, seek the old paths and you'll find rest for your soul. We don't need something new. We need to rediscover the old. We need to catch up with our founding fathers and the patriarchs and God's men. You, as the black preacher said, I'm counting on you to pray for me tonight, and I mean right now. Amen. That's what he said. I've been listening to some black preachers, and it's kind of got me stirred up a little bit. Amen. So I love preaching. I want to lay my finger tonight on one of the great needs in our churches, and I trust the Holy Ghost will speak to us all. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We want to think on the subject for just a few moments this evening of turning our hearts toward home. Turning our hearts toward home. This is a wonderful prophecy that I just read to you of the coming of the prophet Elijah. That it's yet to happen. It has not happened. It's yet to happen. Elijah, when he comes, he's going to do a lot of things. And you can read that in Revelation and other places. But notice what it says here, that he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. He's going to do a lot of things, but probably nothing more important than what it says here. He's going to help families. Amen. Are you with me? Is that in the Bible? Right, it's in the Bible. He's going to help families. He's going to help men turn their hearts toward their children, especially fathers. You know, it's hard to have a great nation without great churches. And it's hard to have great churches without great families. I mean, what are our churches anyway but the combination of the families in those churches? It'd be hard to have a great church with weak families, wouldn't it? I remember a man standing up in a camp meeting many years ago. He said, I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here to get help from my family. He said, anything you can tell me, anything in the world that will really help my family. He said, I need it and I'm listening. And that's where we've come to in this nation and in our churches. We need help for our homes. This lady said to me today, just today, she said, I need your prayers. My daughter is 14. She's an atheist and a lesbian. Folks, that's a sad time here in the Bible Belt. If that's how it is in the Bible Belt, I just shudder to think how it is anywhere else. Well, in many homes, the heart of the father is not turned to the children. Oh, no, he's got his heart on other things. He's entertainment crazy. He's got his times devoted to his buddies, or he's a gambler. You know, the average family now in America spends $3,000 a year on gambling. And even though, and by the way, even though the state sanctioned it and legalized it, it's still a sin. Yeah. Oh, so many men's hearts are not turned toward their own children. You know, social researchers describe today's father as absent. Absent. Even though he may be there physically, he's not there a lot of times mentally, and most of the time he's not there spiritually. It's almost like he's not there. He's absent. I hate to say this, but our men, our fathers, have miserably failed. Miserably failed as leaders, examples, and the high priest in the home. You know I love history, and you can study history, and it's a good and wonderful to be not so far away from Liberty, North Carolina, where Shubal Stearns started Sandy Creek Baptist Church, out of which 1,000 churches were started. And is the reason why this is called the Bible Belt. I just love to get a little Baptist history in every now and then. But folks, you study history. We never had women having to step up and fill the voids like we're having to now. I wish we didn't have a single woman in politics or no CEOs. And we definitely don't need no women preachers. Because it's unscriptural. But men are so sorry that women have had to try to fill in the void. The average man is proud and lazy and selfish. Now, amen, if I get tired and I'm telling the truth, you just shout and I'll rest a minute. But how many men do you know? How many men do you know who are pure in heart, holy in conduct, and consecrated in their lives? Not many, not enough. So many men are obsessed with their toys. They're under the sedation of sin. They're overdosed on lust and pleasure. They're part of the problem and not the solution, and they're forsaking their own flesh and blood. Yeah. I can never forget the story that happened at a county fair. This man claimed to be a Christian. He spent all his time with his hogs getting them ready for the county fair. He didn't act like he didn't even have a boy. That boy would drink and cuss and all the rest. And when that man won the blue ribbon again, he was so proud of his blue ribbon pig. And his friend said to him, you know what? If you'd spend as much time with that boy, anybody listening? If you'd spend as much time with that boy as you do that pig, you might have a blue ribbon boy. We need to turn our hearts toward our children, toward our families. How in the world can you quit, sir, when you've got lost children, when you've got children out of church, when you got lost grandchildren, when you got grandchildren out of church, how in the world could you even think for one second about rolling over and playing dead? It's time to turn our hearts toward home. Toward home. Do you know we lose half of our children by the time they're 25 years old? In some churches, 75%. We're losing them. We're losing them. I remember being in the church not so many years ago, 150 people there, maybe 200. There was not one child in the whole congregation, not one teenager in the entire congregation. They done lost them all. Baptist church lost every single one of them. Folks, it don't take but one generation for this whole thing to collapse. That's all. If you don't believe that, read the book of Judges. And we're not so very far away from that, I'm afraid. Don't blame the kids. They don't get to vote. Don't blame the kids for the economic and political problems in this nation. Don't blame the kids for the low, the upside down values and the dead churches and the low spirituality. It's not their fault. It's our fault, mamas and daddies and mamas and papas. It's our fault who's in office and who ain't. We're so sorry we can't even vote. Well, you acting like a Jehovah Witness. You won't even vote. Probably won't even pledge to the flag, will you? You need to move to some other country because Americans are blood-bought. Amen. The black river of alcohol is everywhere. That's not the kids' fault. We're the ones that legalized that. Sure. We better start early to reach them, to train them, to bring them up. Because the devil's starting early. Alcohol ads now are targeted at pre-teens. The people that sell drugs are going after the pre-teens. 11 and 12 years old, they want their money, they want their health early, they want their soul early. Folks, if the devil's got you by the time you're 11, you probably will be his when you're 60, if you live that long. The devil's going after them early. In kids' movies today, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender lifestyle is being promoted by these cultural terrorists. Kids' movies. They're getting the children used to two mamas and two daddies. Like the Lego movie. How to Train Your Dragon 2. Gay married couples and Nickelodeon cartoons. Are you listening? Maybe you better watch what your kids are watching. Disney's Good Luck Charlie. And on, trying to normalize a deviant behavior. Video games today. Rated E for everyone. I don't mean the hardcore. I mean the ones the children can buy. Any age, like Demi Kids, where they're chanting to Satan. And Assassin's Creed, where the whole thing is about killing Christians and mocking Jesus the deceiver. Do you hear me? Do you know the world and the media are preaching to your children all the time? They just don't call it preaching, but that's what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing. And this sodomite movement is such a scourge. And do you know the two chief causes of it? Do you know why we got more open, promoted homosexuality right now in America than in our history? You know why? The failure of men to be a father figure, abuse by a father figure, and neglect by a father figure are the two leading causes of homosexuality in our nation tonight. Sounds like men need to get right with God and turn their hearts toward home. Amen. I don't know you. I ain't picking on nobody, folks. But I know what's right. I know what normal looks like. Amen. We failed. We just failed. Preachers have failed. I think of a young man. His daddy's a well-known Baptist pastor. He saw how the church treated his dad and so-called Christians. And if that young man was standing right here tonight, he's so full of resentment. Preacher's son, well-known, and I heard him say, I wouldn't be a preacher for all the money in the world. Folks, we're doing something wrong when our young people don't want to serve God. When our young people say, don't be a preacher, you know how they treat preachers. You better treat preachers right. That's what you better do. As a weak amen, I said you better treat preachers right. God will whoop them if they need it. But our children today are resenting the ministry. Resenting the ministry. Is it not past time to turn our hearts toward home? Talk again. Pray again. Be kind again. Be Christian again. Did you know if you're not a Christian at home, you still ain't one sitting here tonight? It don't make you holy walking on these grounds. That's right. This little boy said to his daddy, tell me what a Christian is. His daddy told him. And then the little boy said, well, Daddy, have I ever seen one? Have I ever seen one? Do you know what turns our kids off? Our hypocrisy. They know, sir, what makes you happy, what makes you sad, what makes you glad, what gets you excited. They see you shout over the Super Bowl, and they see you sit at church like a bump on a log, you hypocrite! You get excited over nothing! I always watch the last 3 minutes of the Super Bowl. That's it. That's enough for me. You heard him, didn't you? Say he's going to go home and drink his beer. Wonder how much he got paid for that. Amen. Some of you need to get excited about being saved. Yeah, you are a hypocrite. Amen. If you get more excited over something that's stupid, you're welcome. Then you do about the things of God. You go home and talk about the preacher, talk about the missionary, and you won't do nothing. You say, our church ain't had nobody saved all year, but you didn't bring nobody. And when the preacher's preaching, you won't pray for him, and you won't come to the altar, and you don't have a prayer list, and you won't teach Sunday school. Hallelujah, I'm having a time tonight. Why don't you be an answer to your own prayer? Why don't you get involved? And then maybe your children wouldn't have such a sour taste for church if you live that way all the time. What have they seen at thy house? That's what the preacher asked Hezekiah. What did they see at your house? You say, what in the world can I do? I've made a terrible mess. Number one, I'll be done in a minute. I've never preached long. Number one, and this is really going to help somebody, and I love to try to help one person. That's always my goal. Be faithful to your church. I know where I am. This is Wednesday night. You're the cream of the crop. You came to camp meeting. You are the cream of the cream. God bless you. God bless you. Isn't it hard to have confidence in anybody that's not faithful? It really is. And by the way, if you can't be at church, send your preacher a text. Can't be their preacher. You know why? Because he's standing there preaching, your place is empty, and the devil's telling him they had a wreck on the way to church. They're at the emergency room. Hurry up and get this service over. Hey, I've been preaching 35 years. I know what I'm talking about. At least you could give him the decency. Maybe you would change your mind and go to church if you had to be accountable. Yeah. Some of you is going to lose your kids because you ain't got enough spirituality to go to church. Do you expect your children to be better Christians than you are? You don't know nothing. Be a Christian example and pray for your children. And what can you do? You can cherish their mother, your wife. Remember what you promised? Remember what you vowed in front of God and everybody? Didn't you? What else? You can declare war on the devil. And then you know what probably will happen if you do them things I just mentioned? Probably after you've turned your heart so completely towards your family, they'll turn their hearts towards you. Just maybe. Maybe. That's what it says in the last half of the text, doesn't it? The hearts of the children. If they see that you're real, not perfect, but real, they just liable to turn their hearts towards you. I just believe our family is going to reap the benefits of our dedication, or they're going to suffer the consequences of our failure. I just wonder who's going to preach to our grandchildren. There's many churches where nobody's ever called to preach. And I heard a preacher say, it preaches all over this nation. He said, there's a few men called to preach. He said, every year we're getting 1,000 more Baptist churches without a pastor. 1,000 more than last year. Folks, we're not getting ahead. Are you listening? We're getting behind. And then we got a bunch of pastors that don't preach the book. The Bible says we're supposed to pray for laborers. Matthew 9:38. When was the last time, sir, you said, O Lord, a harvest in obedience to thy command. The laborers are few, the harvest is plenteous. Will you not send forth laborers into your harvest? And Lord, I'm willing, if you want me to be an answer to my own prayer or my own children or my own grandchildren. Lord, don't let the world go to hell. That's what he commanded, Matthew 9:38. And we're not praying that prayer, and we're not willing, and we're getting further and further behind in this nation. We don't have any time to lose. Let me say a thing or two to the children. Teenagers, choose Christian friends. Make sure your best friend's a better Christian than you. If not, you're in trouble. Your friends. Choose good Christian friends. Don't be any grief to your mom and dad. Remember who you represent every day of your life, your family, your church, and Jesus. That's a big job. Do it well. Do it well. Maybe you need to apologize to your mom and dad. If you need to, do it. Maybe you need to apologize to God. Maybe you, Daddy, need to apologize to your children. Amen. Maybe you need to apologize to God. If you need to do it, do it. There's just too much at stake to fail. I'm done. I like what one lady said to her husband. He said, honey, you know, I've been reading in the Bible where Sarah called Abraham Lord. I want you to call me Lord. He said, just as soon as you start living like Abraham, I will. Is that fair? Pretty fair. Isn't it wonderful to be able to say, by the grace of God, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, no matter what course others may take. R.G. Lee was a little boy, and they moved to a different home. He said the first time he ever walked in that new home, big columns, he said. Just a little boy. And he said, Mama, is this heaven? And she said, no, son, this is not heaven, but if we'll live right, Every now and then we'll think it is. I'd rather home be more like heaven than hell, wouldn't you? Deuteronomy 11 says, if we do what we're supposed to do at home, we'll have the days of heaven on earth. Deuteronomy 11. God will give us a little heaven to go to heaven in. Let's turn our hearts toward home. Stand with me, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That's a